What is up, college baseball fans? Welcome to another episode of the 11.7 podcast. We are here to preview weekend number 5 of the college baseball season. And we get some major conferences starting conference play. The SEC is the first one that comes to mind. Before we get started, we're brought to you by our good partners over at Home Field Apparel, who are doing some amazing things for March Madness right now. In fact, let me go ahead and share my screen. Their homepage alone. And at my screen now. The team of the week right now is Florida State, and they have some fire Florida State merch. I mean, this thing right here.
Gross.
I don't know what. It reminds me of the pizza place on Toy Story. Pizza Planet. Reminds me of that logo. Sold out of the bomber jackets. That's a shame. But I mean, they just have awesome gear here for Florida State team of the week. Love this one. So if you guys are listening to the pod, not watching YouTube, I'm sorry, we'll get through this pretty quickly, but you can use our promo code CWS24 to get 15% off your first purchase there. And they just keep coming out with some awesome March Madness gear. You know, the cool thing about college baseball fans is, probably a fan of, your teams or your school's other teams, like the basketball team, football team, things like that. So they have a little bit of everything for you, and including hats, like these Indiana hats I was looking at. Really cool stuff. So y'all go check out Home Field Apparel. They just have the most premium, like college licensed gear. Wow, these Creighton shirts are pretty cool too. But yeah, you go check out Home Field Apparel, and more than likely, they're going to have your favorite school. Over 200 schools. Anyways, boys, good midweek. Not a great midweek.
Oh, what the fuck, man? Why
am I lighting my shit? Demetri is struggling with his camera right now. Look at that. It's that white building behind you that's just making...
I know, dude. I know.
It's all good. I think for the viewers at home and for the YouTube, you're going to be like the man behind the camera where they black him out and give him one of those
auto-tone voices and stuff.
People like hand picks, like they do like feet picks, and I'm giving away free hair.
No, you're going to be like the bank on Deal or No Deal. It's just going to be like a shadow outline of you. You're an unlockable character right now.
I gotta have to sit like this.
Hey, careful with that pose. Someone might screenshot it.
Yikes.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Anyways, like I was saying, good midweek, not a great midweek. There were some upsets. I felt like the games I was most excited for turned out to kind of be duds, and then I like completely missed the games that were exciting. For example, I had my TV tuned in to Jack on the call for the most anticipated game of the midweek, Wake Forest traveling to Coastal Carolina. And dude, before I could even like get the chicken nuggets out of the microwave that I was microwaving for my son, and it was like 8-0. I was like, what are we doing here? But Coastal's offense is just that lethal. They'll get you.
I don't know if it is lethal. It's very, very lethal. But Wake Forest was literally handing them cookies all night long.
Yeah, it was a blend of two. It was like the worst case scenario, right? Like you scored 8 runs in the first 3 innings on two hits. So all of a sudden, like you give out 19 free passes to anyone, you're in big trouble. Now you give out 19 free passes to the team that's 4th in the country in home runs, you're donezo.
Yeah. I mean, you're just gifting them runs, and not only. Like, they're also the number one scoring offense in the country. Like, over 200 and – I think 206 total runs this year in 17 games, on pace to break Wichita State's all-time record at, like, 858 runs. Crazy thing is, they played 87 games in that 1982 season. The most Coastal will play is, like – I think the maximum they could play is, like, 75. LSU played 71 last year. In their College World Series championship season. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. They got an average like 12 runs a game for 71 games to break it. But, I mean, right now they're on pace. But anyways, Jack, can you tell us about the vibes pregame for that midweek matchup? Maybe drop the listeners some insight that maybe you you picked up on? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you that there's a reason that those two teams like are considering themselves powerhouses in the state of college baseball. It's because their head coaches like are all over it. First off, Gary Gilmore in his 29th season as the head coach of Coastal Carolina wins a national championship back in 2016. He throws every round of batting practice. He throws it from a high three-quarter arm slot. He's a southpaw, and he whips it in. So you want to give a lot of credit to the best offense in the country, maybe of all time. Give a lot of credit to their head coach who still whips BP like it's nothing. Tom Walter for Wake Forest, super genuine dude. Getting to talk with him pregame, getting to talk to Seaver King, a guy that I was able to create a little bit of a relationship with Team USA last summer. He's the real deal. For me, all eyes were on Nick Kurtz, though, for Wake Forest, a guy that's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. We were kind of talking about it before the pod. Like, this is an offense that they've lost a lot from last year. Take Tommy Hawk, maybe the most productive leadoff guy in college baseball from a season ago. Brock Milken, the ACC home run king. Dude's a monster. They still retained two guys in that offense that were Golden Spike candidates, and it's like they kept waiting for them to burst on the scene. Not a night for Wake to remember, but silver lining. Nick Kurtz hit two baseballs that I know Statman just had him at 115 and 117 on his single off the wall on his home run. There's no way that they were anything less than 130. Give me Stanton, give me anybody. Nick Kurtz is the most terrifying man in the country with a baseball bat in his hands. He hit an absolute mammo. So for those that kind of watched along, I appreciate you. It was an ugly baseball game. 19 free passes, 10 hit by pitches. It was one off from the collegiate record Wake did. But they threw nine guys. All nine were underclassmen. Now, throw them to the wolves a little bit and see how they'll respond. You know, they did throw eight guys in that Sunday rubber match against Wake. So you're not disappointed in, like, what you saw from Wake. I thought I was maybe going to get a little bit of a better game, but that's midweeks for you. And instead of what Wake didn't do, I think what we saw from Coastal is sustainable. Like, I know the Fun Belt's going to be loaded this year. They got better in the bullpen, which was a big question mark from a year ago. Their front-end guys are the real deal on the weekend. But their offense – we talk about teams at 1 through 9. Like, from an offensive standpoint, they're taught the same things as hitters. They all look identical. I swear to God. They all get really wide with two strikes, and they all mash. And they're so disciplined, whether it's like – Blake Barthol, for example. Blake Barthol is the reigning national player of the week. He had 5 home runs last week, 4 of which are backside, by the way. Like, he has 4 home runs over the weekend against Michigan, backside. So last night, he gets hit in his first 3 at-bats. Hand up, and for any college baseball player that's standing in the box, I get hit one time, I'm getting gunshot. Like, you're going to beat me in the rest of the game. He gets hit 3 times, and in his 4th at-bat, hits a 3-run yabo to put the final nail in the coffin of the Demon Deacons. Like, that kid's right. That's sustainable. Like, if you're going backside 4 times with that kind of sneaky backside pop, like, that shows me that your bat head is in the zone for an hour and a half. The approach is obviously dialed. So, and that's not even really the guy we were talking about offensively for them. Caden Bodine has thrown out 65% of runners this year from behind the plate.
He's crazy back there.
So good, quiet as hell, rakes, backside, whatever. And then to me, right, whether it's Graham Brown or Zach Beach, who's got just big league power already, it starts and finishes with Derek Bender. Like, he is their heart and soul. And I know we jumped all over the sneaky line, and it's going to be tough for a mid-major guy to win the Golden Spikes, but he hit 2 baseballs off the top of the wall last night. One backside, one to center, one pull side. And I was like, dude, like, what can't this guy hit? And they were all on 3 different pitches. He hit a changeup, hit a slider, hit a fastball. So that's my baseball analytical junkie breakdown from the game last night. It was good. It was an ugly game. It was a fun game. It was an awesome opportunity to get to jump on that call with Sam Wiederhaft, who's super talented. He's going to be the next voice of big time Power 5 baseball. So, man, it was a crazy one, but those are two teams that we're going to see in June without question.
Yeah, 100%. I have 2 thoughts about that game, but Dimitri, I'll give you the floor here. Anything that you picked up on, any notes that you have about the game before I spill my 2 thoughts?
Shout out Blake Barthol.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy
in the last 10 games.
20, I think it's like 23, 24 hit in the last 10 games, 10 homers, 20 RBI. I mean, you can't get much higher.
Saying it so nonchalantly. I'll read it with a little bit of enthusiasm because when you tweeted this out, I had to double check your math. It's like there's just no way over his last 10 games, these are his stats. Let's see here. Come on, where is it?
But anyway, I think my biggest concern is we talked about the pre-show. Wake Forest's depth outside of their main guys is very, very questionable. But like I said, like I was going to say before, the game got out of hand quick. They never had a chance to use any of their guys for one inning here, two outs here, matchup there. So they just kept playing, hey, let's just try to keep as close as possible. Whatever happens, happens. And Coastal just kept pummeling them. And it's more, it speaks more to how good Coastal is than how bad Wake is in that department of pitching. Yeah. I think Coastal showed, you say you pull from that game, the biggest takeaway is how good Coastal is and not so much we should be worried about Wake in the pitching lab.
Yeah.
Don't use the PL phrase. People on Twitter get mad about the whenever we mention Wake Forest's pitching lab. Here's Blake Barthel's last 10 games. 23 hits, 10 homers, 20 RBIs. That's a good season for like a lot of guys. Like that's a good season for somebody with 100 at-bats. Nope, that was just 10 games. Anyways, here are my two thoughts on this game. First thing that came to mind, probably around the third or fourth inning, that Aaron Fitt tweet from Sunday, Wake Forest versus Duke. I was running that through my head and saying, like, this is identical to, like, what Aaron Fitt tweeted about. I should have had it pulled up here, but I'll pull it up while I say my second point. The second point, Jack, you kind of mentioned it. Coastal Carolina, everybody in the lineup feels like they have the similar, like pretty much the same swing, right? Yep. That they're like, this is what I call a wiffle ball swing. Like these guys swing the bat like they're playing wiffle ball. And yep. It's like the most relaxed, also with a little bit of swag, but just as confident as can be. Like they are athletes in the box. Like each pitch, it feels like they're making slight adjustments. To feel their swing out. And I don't know of a better phrase than wiffle ball swing, because think about all those at-bats we took in the backyard growing up. Like you might not have the exact same swing every single pitch, but you feel good in the box. Like, and that's how Coastal's lineup is 1 through 9. 7 of their starting 9 have the last name that start with the letter B. Like they're the killer bees right now, the bees of the beach. But the crazy, the game was ugly.
What do you call it? The brazy chicken at the beach.
Yep.
Instead of crazy, you say brazy.
Brazy, is that a word? Probably no, not.
Like, you're going brazy, dude. You've never heard that?
No, but I like it.
You've never heard that? Yeah, come on, Ben. Get out of your apartment one time.
You have to realize I have an old soul, and I don't keep up with these new trends nowadays. But as you guys know, PressBox member who shall remain nameless just summed this up in the Wake Duke game perfectly. This game sucks. This game is just terrible. Brutal baseball. Free bases galore. A replay review every other minute. No flow. The fifth inning alone took over an hour. Like, that's how I was feeling.
Wait. Aaron tweeted that about last night's game.
No, he tweeted about Sunday's game against.
Oh, that was the Sunday.
But it could have played for yesterday's game too.
Yeah, she just retweeted it yesterday.
Like, I know.
It was about a 3.5 hour game. It was if you were a baseball degenerate, you stuck on board for all 9 innings. Even though Wake did make it close late, we kind of talked about that. But to your point, Ben, and this will be the last I touch on it. They do make adjustments. It feels like every pitch. And I think why they're so tough to pitch and game plan for is with 2 strikes, they never panic. Like Beach gets really wide. They got a couple guys that choke up, but like they still get A-plus swings off in 2 strike counts. Like at no point in time in an 0-2-1-2 count is a dude on the mound feeling really confident about where they are. And I think that's where they're so tough.
1,000%. No, it's just a lineup that's really deep. Now, we're going to see a lot. We're going to figure out more about this Coastal team. Like once they get, April, May, they go through a weekend each weekend in the Sun Belt. But like, I think this team's legit. Like, I think right now you can pencil them in for a regional. Shout out Pencil Talk to host a regional. And like, if they do, you have to think of the revenge factor of them losing a home regional last year to a Duke team, crazy enough. But like, they're not going to let it happen 2 years in a row. So like, right now, if you're a Coastal fan, you have to start thinking, okay, super regional. Like, once you get into a super, anything can happen. So,
you know what? Here's my biggest key. We talked about it. The reason why I picked, I don't know about you guys, the reason why I picked Troy was I was concerned, can Coastal get better on the mound? Last year, with their Achilles heel with pitching, they couldn't win a 5-4 ball game. They just couldn't do it. If there was a day they ran into a good arm, they hit balls right at people, their offense was always there, but sometimes you just don't score a run. That's baseball. If your pitching can show up and keep you in it, that's how you win ball game. But this year, I like their pitching more than last year.
Oh, yeah. 10 times.
They don't have what was the closer's name for Coastal last year?
Yeah, they don't have a Sharkey, Teddy Sharkey.
They don't have Sharkey back there, but it seems like they feel better this year on the mound. They glue together better. They get out. Maybe they're – I mean, from what I've seen, they have some velo in there too. Guys are pumping in there. So I like –
You know what's funny about Teddy Sharkey? And this is no knock on Teddy Sharkey. Like, I hope he doesn't listen to the pod and think that I hate him, because I loved him. I hyped him up all last year. But when he would come into games, like in the eighth and ninth inning, compared to the other rooms, he looks like a major leaguer, like a major league ready pitcher. And he's not, obviously. Like, I don't think he was drafted overly high or like first round or anything like that. But like, just his stuff compared to the rest of the staff last year was so much better. And it's like, oh, like, he probably would be like a middle reliever in an SEC school. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he would have been that like closer at an SEC school, but
you're
just
saying. So you're saying the deception thing where he was so much, his stuff looked so much better than everybody else that it made it look like he was so good when he would could have been average somewhere else.
I'll also tell you what he had. He had Notre, man. He had nuts on the rubber attitude. Like, he had back end bully bullshit. Like, he didn't give a damn.
His ball dragged down the slope of the mountain.
Notre, man. A little nuts on the rubber, a little Notre.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm picking up these trends now. Okay.
But anyway, that was Coastal's problem. 4 weeks into the season, I'm sold on their pitching staff. I think their pitching staff can hold a team under 5 runs when they need to.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's Gilly's last year too.
They got that good vibes. Good vibes.
Good vibes.
Mike Martin went to Omaha last year with a team that was not supposed to be very good. So who knows? The sky is the limit for this Chance team.
Yeah. Another Sun Belt team that kind of impressed me again, Southern Miss. It was a packed home game at the Pete. Alabama comes to town ranked, and for 8.5 innings, or I guess 8 full innings, Southern Miss was just dominating the game. Like, the Southern Miss's offense has completely turned the corner from the first few weeks. They look good. And then Alabama goes on a big run in the ninth. They score 5 runs, like, bring the winning run to the plate. But Southern Miss escapes with a win, another good win on their resume. Like, that's another team that has played a pretty challenging schedule so far this year and has answered the door every time. So I will say, hand up, Southern Miss and Campbell, I was doubting you preseason, and you guys both look really damn good. So credit to both of those good programs.
I think for Cam, okay, for Southern Miss, the only concern I have, and it's not really much of a concern, Sunday versus Indiana State, they gave up 12. Sunday versus Louisiana Tech, they gave up 18.
They also lost a Sunday to Marist, too.
Yeah. Yep, they did. They did. So you're not going to win every Friday, Saturday. So series wins are going to get really difficult if you don't kind of just make an adjustment or figure whatever is happening on Sunday, figure that out. And I like this team. Until then, Coastal is the by far clear favorite to win the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You guys want to talk Florida State? Yeah, 20 minutes in, we haven't even mentioned Florida State.
Yeah, I'm all in.
Florida State is damn good, man. I'm telling you, when you look at that lineup, Farrow. I mean, I'm just going to name some of their transfers. Not even their James Tibb, not even their Cam Smith, not even their Jamie Farrer. I'm talking Alex Lodi, the short from North Florida, Drew Farrow, Cantu from South Florida. Like, these are just transferred, and these are big-time players. These are guys that were number one hitters on those teams last year. And they come to Florida State to join the three-headed monster of Farrer, Tibbs, and Cam Smith. I'm telling you guys, this lineup, this is a top 10 lineup from a presence standpoint and just from a pure fear standpoint when they get in the box. I'm telling you, this team is fucking good.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked on two different levels that that wasn't the first line of this podcast. Because one, Demetri, you've been standing on business since January. You saw this run. So I'm giving you, I'm throwing you your flowers. You called this one out. I didn't know much about this team. Secondly, I love that you perfectly transition and let the people know that this is a top 10 team. Because I'm with Mr. Ben Upton here. I hope we don't rank them all year. I hope they don't get ranked all year. And they run the table and we just expose the rankings for how fugazi they actually are. Because how can you watch this team?
At this point, if you're a Florida State fan, a player, a coach, it doesn't matter. Like, you do not want to be in these D1 baseball rankings. Like, you just want to stay out of it. Like, the whole year. Like, I think Mike Rooney put it perfectly when he quote tweeted us. He's like, yeah, we need to humbly decline the rest of the season. Like, we just do not want to participate in your rankings. Yeah. And I think that would be great. They might go 56-0 if they did that. But here's something. Everybody in college baseball and college sports in general love blind resumes, right? I'm not going to do a 100% blind resume, but it's something similar where if you strip the name Wake Forest off and the name Florida State off of both of their jerseys, right now you would say, oh, this team in maroon and gold is way better than this team in black and gold. And I know the schedules are a little bit like Wake Forest has played a tougher schedule. But I think the eye test and, like, just skills, more complete team right now, it feels like Florida State might be a better team than Wake Forest.
How can you say that Wake Forest scheduled that much better just because they play Duke first week in ACC play?
Yeah, I mean, they have three games against Duke, and then they also played Coastal. Yeah. Like,
I mean, okay, but, like, Florida State, obviously, they played – nobody's too, but like they both played pretty similar schedules up until conference play, and Florida State, they just hadn't started conference play yet. So one weekend out, even before this past weekend, last Thursday, you could have made the argument that Florida State is very close to Wake Forest, but according to the ranking, they weren't even close. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean 100%. But I'm like fully invested in this Florida State ranking D1 baseball. I don't want to call it a controversy because at the end of the day, it's just entertainment. But like, I'm invested where if Florida State, let's just say they win 2 out of 3 against Notre Dame this weekend. Like, does D1 baseball just like jump them to like number 10 or do they keep them at like 24, 25? Like,
so funny you mentioned that because we were actually having the same, I was having the same conversation with my little brother who's a South Carolina graduate. South Carolina basketball at one point this year was like 20-2 and not ranked. And it was like, what are they going to do with the Gamecocks? Are they just going to go from not ranked to being like an 11 seed if they go and beat Tennessee? They beat Tennessee. They went from being completely unranked and they jump them to 16 in the newest rankings. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, what the hell? Like, did they miss?
But Jack, you know, South Carolina basketball went from the 26th best team to the 16th in 1 week. In one game. Like, they improved that much. No, at the end of the day, like, I know and I understand because we do it with the mid-major rankings, but preseason polls just have such a huge weight on the sport. They're good for the sport. I'm a supporter of preseason polls, but at some point, probably 3 or 4 weeks in, I think you got to erase all bias aside and say, this is actually what the team is, even though we projected them to do this. Like, right now, they're not this
team. All right, let me tell you guys this. Here's the Warren Nolan ELO rankings right now.
Oh, dude, you're stealing a segment from me. I had a secret segment ready to pull up.
Let's just go right into it then.
No, but it was going to be a game. But you're already looking at it, so let's go ahead and just do it. I was going to read the top 10 teams.
I'm so sorry.
No, I had a game. I was going to read the D1 baseball top 10. I was going to read the Baseball America top 10, and I was going to do the RPI top 10 and the ELO top 10, but not tell you which ranking was which. And I was going to ask you guys which one you thought was the best.
I would have 100% picked the ELO, because as soon as I looked at it, I was like, yeah.
I don't know either. Hit me with it. I don't know it.
All right. So based on the ranking that we're talking about with D1, ELO rankings, here we go. A&M number one. Anybody have a problem with that?
They are undefeated.
Oregon State number two.
They look pretty good.
TCU number three. Arkansas four. Clemson five. LSU six. Tennessee seven. Coastal eight. Vandy nine. North Carolina 10. Wake 11. Duke 12. Florida State 13, Alabama 14, Virginia 15, East Carolina 16, NC State, Georgia, Irvine, Dallas, Baptist, Auburn, Florida.
Wait, why isn't Florida in the top 10?
What?
Why isn't Florida in the top 10?
Maybe because they're not playing like a top 10 team?
Maybe because they're 10-6 now and they have not played a tough schedule.
You stink like shit.
I'm going to keep saying this until like it obviously gets me proven wrong. But I was getting attacked by Florida fans and even like just baseball, college baseball fans in general, when I came out with my preseason field of 64 and I had Florida as a 2 seed. Like, I have screenshots on my phone of all the Twitter replies that were just like, you're a joke. You don't know ball. How in the world could you project Florida to be a 2 seed? And I was like, guys, like, they lost a lot more than what you're saying. Like, I know they reloaded in the portal and like have these talented freshmen, but like, you can't replace like a Hurston Waldrop. Like, he's going to win you 12 games a year. And I was like, I think that this is the very typical Florida Coach Sullivan team that we see every year besides last year, where they come into the season with super high expectations and then disappoint. Last year was the opposite. They came in with very few expectations and they superseded them. So it was just like a pattern thing.
Yeah. And last year, me and you both talked preseason. We really like Florida. I really like this Florida team. Nobody's talking about them. This year, everybody loves Florida. Nope. This is a Sully team. High expectation, underwhelm. This is right. What they do.
Now, don't get me wrong. This team could go off in the postseason and win. Correct. The but like, they're talented enough.
Subjectively speaking, they're underwhelming.
Yes, big time.
Or objectively speaking, which one is right there?
Objectively means fact-based. Subjectively means opinion-based.
So objectively, they're underwhelming.
I think it would be subjectively.
Are they underwhelming this year?
Yeah.
That's objective. That is a fact. They're underwhelming.
It doesn't matter. Man, I had a good point to piggyback off of this Florida State thing we were doing a little bit ago, but now I can't remember. But that's okay. It's okay to forget stuff. What was another big storyline from the midweek?
I was just going to point out that I really think Oklahoma State is kind of like sneaking back.
They're trash. What? I watched them play 3 games against Mercer. They're trash.
Oh, you guys are so talented.
Did you just see what they did to Oklahoma last night?
Good. They beat Oklahoma in midweek. Like, Oklahoma just swept UCF. They're not worried about Oklahoma State.
All right. Then scratch it. Throw it away.
I watched Mercer's pitching staff give up, I think, a total of 7 runs or 8 runs to Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State's ballpark.
12 runs.
Was it 12?
4-4-4.
Oh, well,
no, sorry. It felt like all right. Hand up. 2-4-5-9.
They gave up 9 runs in a game?
No, 4-1-4.
Oh, yeah. So 9 runs. But yeah, I don't think Oklahoma State's any good. Like, they have nobody in that offense.
So you're telling me,
I guess, other than Carson Bears.
Are they a 3 seed in a regional type team?
I don't think Oklahoma State's gonna make a regional.
Ooh, guarantee that shit.
I don't think they're going to make a regional. I think they're bottom half of the Big 12.
Guarantee it.
I wouldn't guarantee that.
I don't want to guarantee it, but I'll guarantee they will not host a regional.
That's just too easy.
No, it's not. I like it.
I don't think they're going to host a regional either.
Why are we talking about Oklahoma State? Do you think they're sneaky good?
I was just throwing a midweek game out there.
That was his I watched guess. 27 innings against Mercer. They ain't good.
Fair enough. They ain't good. Fair enough.
My only note, other than the games we've talked about, TCU, nice little bounce back against DBU.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That game means a lot. Like, some midweeks don't mean anything. Obviously, like, Florida State means a lot. There's a few other midweeks that you can just pick up that both teams really want to win. That game's one of them. Like, TCU, Dallas Baptist, and it goes both ways. Like, I don't think they like each other. I think both programs respect each other, but, like, that's a big recruiting game, too. Like, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, boatloads of college baseball talent. And, like, it's a recruiting battle. They don't play each other in the weekends, so these midweeks count. So, yeah, I will give TCU their credit. They go out there and just stomp Dallas Baptist, and it was, like, never even close.
I think it's a big RPI win, too, because I think the Big 12 is oftentimes forgotten when it comes to hosting regional sites. So, let's say TCU, you know, loses in the Big 12 championship or whatnot, and they become, like, a 2 or 3 guy. You know, a win like that, I think, allows
– not in the Big 12. Not so much in the Big 12.
I think so. I think it helps. I think it, I bet it helps more than you think.
If you sure. if they finish top 2 in the Big 12, they're going to be hosting a regional regardless of anything.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, what if they're a borderline, right? Like, what if Texas and Tech finish above them and they're a 3, right? There's going to be a handful of SEC and ACC schools.
I think, sure. But I think that game impacts Dallas Baptist more than it does TCU for the long run.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah,
that's fair.
Did we talk about Ryder?
Shout out Ryder. Shout out Ryder. That's about right. So the Ryder Bronx go to Duke and beat them pretty good. Like, it was never close. Duke looked dead. But that's about right. You know, last episode on Sunday when we recorded, all three of us agreed Duke should be ranked number 1 based off the eyeball test that we're so proud of. And it's about right that Duke just lays an egg right on top of us. And just makes us look terrible.
Hey, shout out to the starter for Duke. First career start.
Starter for Ryder.
Yeah. Clayton Pauly, ace shutout in first career start. Shout out to him on the road at Duke. Impressive. Miami lose to FAU. We all knew that was going to happen. I didn't even care.
Charlie Condon hit homer number 13. It's getting stupid, fellas. He's going to hit 30.
Which, by the way, Georgia's not a little ballpark either.
No, like, it's huge.
It's huge. It's huge.
Graveyard, and he's just making it look like a fucking sandbox.
Charlie Condon would hit 40 if he played at Mississippi State. No. He would hit 40 homers. I'm not kidding. I mean, and you know what's funny is, like, obviously, like, Cags broke the record last year. Florida's ballpark is pretty big, too, compared to some other ones. But the home run record before them, Ivan Melendez, he hit 32. And his primary ballpark is a graveyard. So I don't know what it is. Like, I would have loved to see these guys go play at a East Carolina or a Coastal Carolina, a Mississippi State, something like that.
He'd have 100.
Be on 40 watch.
One more thing from the midweek that I need to talk about. Give your praises to the Vanderbilt Commodores. They are a good team.
Dude, Vandy is scary. That's a good point. I was going to say it. I'm going to set it on Sunday. I think Vanderbilt on the field right now, they might, like, if the tournament started today, it's crazy, but I think Vanderbilt might be one of the favorites.
I'm telling you guys, everyone was saying Vanderbilt fraudulent. Oh, they're not very good, blah, 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 blah. I was like, dude, just wait.
Beginning of the season, they were not good.
They were not good, but I'll tell you what.
Just wait. Let this team develop.
Well, I'll tell you why I felt that way. And I think it's this idea that we've become accustomed to this idea that Vanderbilt has the star power in college baseball, whether it's a Rocker or a Leiter or Dansby or Kemper, like these really consistent staple figures, whether it be on the mound. And this is, I feel like, maybe the less star-studded lineup and rotation that they've had. But, like, Bryce Cunningham's really good on the weekend for them. And Troy
Lee. Grayson Stewart throws flames on Friday.
Right, but doesn't it, like, I feel like the star power is delegated all throughout the SEC, where it used to just loaded throughout their lineup. But this is like, take the military aspect that Corbin runs that team with, and then every half inning they've got 8 to 12 guys dancing in shallow right center field during any – like
they've been doing that for years.
This is different. They used to do the stretches and the weird bandy stuff. This is like they are like actually – like in Houston they do like the Simba cam and they fake do kiss cams. Like they are interacting with what's going on around them and it's all ad-lib and they're having a blast. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great point, though. I mean, they are 13-5 against a good Indiana team. Like, their offense is
– Their last 10 games, they beat Indiana State by 20-4. Beat a decent Evansville team on a Wednesday of a midweek. It's hard to win those Wednesday games in a back-to-back midweek. They win that. They go to Houston, Louisiana, Houston, and Texas. They sweep it. Eastern Michigan, whatever, Illinois State, they sweep them, no problem this weekend. Then they throttle Indiana last night, 13-5. A good Indiana team. So, I mean, hey, hold on. Let the Vanderbilt team, we'll learn about them against Auburn this weekend, but I think they're a good team. We talked about they have too many pitchers. Ben, we talked about this. You were like, whatever. They have too many pitchers. It's a good problem to have. Wake Forest doesn't have enough.
Fair enough. The only other thing I'm going to say here before we jump into the weekend series, pick 'em, Dimitri. Why didn't you get dressed up today?
Dude, because I'm not wearing more his stuff. I'm a left head guy.
Hey, shout out to our boy Brady. Shout out Coach Brady Ward from Morehead State, hooking the boys up from Club Bromaha. Jack and I, we knew what we were doing. We picked Morehead State to win the OVC. Word got out to Coach Cook, or not Coach Cook, sorry. Coach Ward, we're gonna get a little gift box. Gonna send a little gift box, Morehead State gear. And although I will say mine got sent back because the assistant coach wrote the wrong address to my house. So I think that assistant coach had to do some punishment running. But it got
no way.
Got here yesterday, and yeah, I'm rocking it. Dude, it's comfy Under Armour stuff.
You guys look great in them.
Thanks.
Well, hey, you want to jump on the bandwagon? It's never too late. The boys are 8-8.
They just
throttled Ohio last night, beat them 20-10.
I'm a SEMO guy.
How many run games is that for Morehead?
I don't know, but I'm a Morehead guy. I ride and die with the Red Hawks in the OVC. So Morehead doesn't like me for that. So what? And by the way, where's my Morehead hoodie? I mean, on my Southeast Missouri hoodie. That's what I should be having right now.
Do you know their coach's name? Shout him out.
I
mean,
pitching coach, I grew up with him.
Let's go.
I got to send him a message. Say, what the fuck, dude? Send me my hoodie. Hey, one more thing. I'm not going to let this team ever come off my radar all year. The Southern California Trojans lose another one. They have lost 3 out of 4, 3 out of 5. 6 out of 8, 7 out of their last 9 games. They lost 3-2 to Cal Baptist last night, lost 2 out of 3 on the road at home against Arizona last weekend. This team's not good, guys.
Just let them die, dude. Just let them die. You know the saying, you haven't officially
died
until somebody said, what's the saying? You haven't officially died until somebody hasn't said your name or something. There's a saying out there, you're not officially dead until nobody has said your name anymore. Like, you just keep bringing this USC team up and just stomping on their grave. Like, they're dead, dude. They're not good. They were overhyped before the season. Like, if Florida State would have been getting this USC hype before the season, Florida State would be the number one team ranked in the country.
100%.
I think that's where the injuries come from.
USC is like a weekend series win away. Like, if they sweep this weekend, they might be in the rankings. These outlets love them.
Yo, are we buyers or sellers on this Auburn team?
Buyers.
I think they're a damn good team.
Yeah, I was shaky Friday when they lost, or they should have lost to Austin Peay, and then they lost on Saturday. But then they go and score like 23 runs. They're a very good offensive team. I still believe in the Tigers. I still believe in Auburn.
They handled Troy pretty well yesterday.
Yeah. That was another little cherry on top.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'll give you my answer on Monday, Dimitri. How about that? I think you'll find out with Vandy big time.
Who?
So they got Vandy this weekend. I'll let you know.
We just said, yeah, that's a big. I'm really intrigued by that weekend, by that series. Sorry. Yeah. South Alabama beat Mississippi State. That's a big win. And I think Mississippi State is starting to come along a little bit. I think they're going to be anywhere from 10 to 15 wins in the SEC this year. I think they can get to 10 to 15.
Both Mississippi schools, I think, will be okay on the weekend.
Ole Miss sucks.
What makes you say that?
I just don't like them. I think Mississippi State is the better team of the two. I think Ole Miss is. I think Ole Miss is going to really get exposed in the SEC schedule. I'm telling you right now.
I might wager with you. I think Ole Miss will actually have a better season in the SEC than Mississippi State.
Nope. Handshake it right here. Beautiful.
All right.
We need an agreement. What's the wager?
Back the Rebs.
What is the wager here?
Dude, I don't know. What do you want to do?
I got it. Mississippi State, Ole Miss. The loser, whoever finishes worse, has to buy the other a jersey of said team.
All right, that's fair.
Both got sweet gear.
All right, so basically we'll DM the school, call the school, say $100, can we get a jersey?
Yeah, either that or we just go on the unbelievable site home field and buy said equipment on there as well.
That's fair. Let's do that. All right, let's deal, go home field wager.
Let's go State. Hail State.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is like kicking at the door of being like a really good team.
I don't think so.
All right, we'll see. Hey, the series is at Ole Miss this year. So that's going to probably be the deciding factor. Who wins that series?
College game day? College baseball?
Here's one more thing. Who's finishing higher in the Fun Belt standing, South Alabama or Troy?
What?
I'm going to ride with Troy here. But I'm telling you, this South Alabama team is good. They're a good team.
Here's the deal. You keep setting this up, try to get the Troy fan base to run me over, even though I'm a ride or die, man. Damn it.
Look, I think that is a good question. I think that is a really good question, Dimitri. And I might actually pick South Alabama, even though I am sold on Troy being a good team. Troy is going to have a target on their back every single weekend. Where I don't think South Alabama will. Like, I think teams are going to underestimate South Alabama and how good they actually are. I think head-to-head, Troy's a better team. But it wouldn't surprise me if, like, Troy, you know, drops a game a weekend. Meanwhile, like, South Alabama might sweep a team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think the target on your back is a big thing in college baseball.
Yeah, for sure. Shane Lewis just hit his fourth homer in three games.
I'm riding with Troy on my own question, but I'm telling you, we talked about this Sunday night or Monday night. Will Turner gets hot, the South Alabama team become that much better.
Yeah.
So, Fun Belt, man, what a fucking loaded conference.
Yep. All right, hey, pull up the website. Let's do our weekend series pick 'em. Let's share your screen. And I'm doing 6-0 this week. I'm telling you, mess around. I really am. Like, I went 2-4 last week. It was embarrassing. I'm going 6-0. I am going 6-0. I'm going 6-0. But we have some good series. So we have Tennessee at Alabama, A&M at Florida, Indiana State at Xavier, Clemson at Duke, Cal at Oregon, and then Jack's boys. We get Wofford at Charleston. College of Charleston hosting Wofford, who – Wofford's one of the best offenses in the country this year, and people are not talking about them. They've scored, I think, 200 runs this year. Easy schedule, though. Light schedule.
Lost some pieces, though. Like, they had a transfer into Wake. Like, they've lost some pieces, so they've relocked.
Lost their coach, too. Their coach that was there for, like, 20 years, just now he's at Boston College. But
anyways, I'm kind of annoyed right now. The logos in the background are kind of mixing in, blending in. You can't see them. I'm annoyed.
I thought you did that on purpose.
What do you mean? On purpose?
I thought you made the background the same color as the logo to like mess with.
Oh, yeah. But some logos don't have any borders or anything. Like, for example, Wofford, you can see a Charleston, Oregon.
I legitimately cannot see an Alabama or a Tennessee logo. Or I can see the white lines on Texas A&M.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Like, does Tennessee have a logo?
It's there. I can see it.
I cannot see it.
That one's tough for me, and I'm not colorblind. So don't worry, buddy.
All right. Who went, Jack, you went 5-1 last week.
4-2 last
week. Dimitri, what'd you go last week?
Hey, let's see it. Sorry. A little too far. I went like way down.
That's why you should have just said it if you knew.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, just
Week 4. Where's the long champ? 4-2. Hell of a week. Oh boy, congratulations. Jeffrey Mafia, 3-3 week. And then where's Benny Ballgame, Ben Upton?
I went 2-4. I already said it. We don't need to go over it again.
Oh, I just wanted to find your name. Oh, Ben Upton, 2-4. Danny, yeah. Tough week.
All right, we good now?
The long champ, 17-9 on the year. You are you are
crimping. I'm knocking on the doorstep.
I'm 2 games behind you at 15-11, Ben Upton.
Is he doing this on purpose?
Yeah. Am I doing one on purpose? I'm just showing us our standing. Anyway, sorry about that. I just wanted to check and make sure.
All right. So first series here, we have the Wofford Terriers traveling to Charleston. Face against the College of Charleston.
I'm out. Why do you always start from the bottom? It is literally
I think the best series are always at the top. It's college game day, dude.
It's quite a little. You ever watch game day? Come on. Let's go.
Starting at the bottom, because we can't end on Wofford at Charleston. People would turn the episode off.
I like it.
I mean, look, I played against Wofford. I hate Wofford. I respect their program. I hate them. I hate Wofford. I hate Samford. I will always hate Wofford. I will always hate Samford. I live pretty close to Charleston now. And I love Patriots Point. I love the Cougs. Give me College of Charleston. Sweep. Humble this Wofford team. They're 14-12, but they've played, I think everybody they've played has been like RPI 260 and higher. So I think Charleston sweeps. Give me the Cougs. Shout out the basketball team too. Dancing to the tournament.
Got their dancing shoes on.
Give me Charleston as well. Sunday sweep party at Rev.
He knows Reds right there on Shem Creek.
Oh, baby. Party at Reds on Sunday after the sweep. Give me the Cougs.
Hypothetically speaking, that is the watering hole of choice for a lot of young gentlemen that might be playing in this series. I'll tell you this to remain neutral. I'm not on the call this weekend. College of Charleston, Wofford. I did a little bit of homework on Wofford. Wofford's going to score a lot of runs. Despite College of Charleston, I think, having one of the better starting rotations in the CAA. Aiden Hunter's a guy that transferred from South Carolina, was a back-end guy making a start on the weekends. Connor Campbell was 4 outs away from throwing a perfect game. They just got their big fella Daniel Brooks back from Tommy John a year ago. He just threw his first outing actually on Tuesday. Just went one inning but struck out his first 2 guys. If they get him back, that rotation gets even deeper. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that they've got a borderline first rounder in Cole Mathis. So I'll take the Cougs since I'm not on the call.
Hey, by the way, I have a Rez hat at home. It is a flat bill little snapback with a rope in front that says Rez with a white circle around it.
Hold on. I think I have it. Hold on.
Do you have it? It used to be one of my favorite frat out hats. I would wear it like.
I don't want to take up too much time, but I do think I have that exact same hat. But yeah,
with the blue line of Rez.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Great place to read. If you're ever in Charleston, check out Rez in Mount Pleasant.
Great place to think alike.
So instead of Jack and I both planning to wear the Moorhead State gear today, next week you guys are going to both wear the Reds hat that I do not have. I could go drive and get it, but.
I got you.
Let's not. All right, Dimitri, talk to us about Cal in Oregon. You're hyping up this Cal team, and I'm drinking the juice too. I'm believing in it, but what do you see from this Cal at Oregon series?
I think this is the perfect series where I'm going to take Cal and Oregon's going to win, and let me tell you why. A week ago, the Gauchos rolled into Eugene. They were so down. We were like, Oregon's going to take care of business. This is an easy series win. Santa Barbara almost sweeps them. I like this Cal team. A year ago, Cal rolled into, I want to say, the Frisco Classic, looking really good, laid an egg, didn't do very well in that tournament. So I like Cal. I'm rolling with the Golden Bears. I think they're a good team, but I can very easily see Oregon take care of business at home. But give me Cal.
All right. Look, I want to follow you with Cal. I really do. But like, there's something about, like, have you ever been, like, emotionally attached to a team and don't know why?
Correct.
When I watched Oregon the first two games of the season at that tournament in Dallas or in Arlington, I forget, they keep changing the name, the one on Flow Sports.
Shriners,
yeah. When I watched them those first two games, I was like, I really like this team. Like, they beat a good Oklahoma team. They beat Baylor. And, you know, they were in it against Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech had a big inning, like, early. But other than that, like, they pretty much outplayed Texas Tech. Now, I'm not saying this Oregon team is going to, like, win the Pac-12 or anything. But I think they are sneaky underrated. And I think this is going to be their coming out party. I think they're going to beat a good Cal team. And I think it's going to be a hard-fought series. But I think they'll win Friday and Sunday. So give me the Ducks.
Can I add one more thing before Jack makes his pick? Preseason, I said people were sleeping on Oregon. I think their pitching is really good. I think they have all their freshmen that were all their big role guys last year were all freshmen. This year, they're all year older. They returned all of them. Their pitching is good. So, and I really liked Oregon preseason, but I just want to stick with my boys and Cal.
Yeah. Hey, I we just talked about Cal, right? I brought him up on Sunday night where I was just – I felt like this, and I remember I mentioned Virginia Tech as well, who they've got Louisville this weekend. Those were two teams that, like, are going to really sneakily fly under the radar, and we're going to look up and go, they got an unreal record. They play good baseball all year. Why have we not been talking about it? Rodney Green obviously getting a lot of love out of the Golden Bears. But I also did just change my Pac-12 pick. So, yes, I think the stock on Cal's really high. I'm taking Oregon. They use pencil bats, so I'd be absolutely bonkers to not take them. Jacob Walsh hits lefty in that middle of that lineup and hits absolute bam box home runs. I mean, huge leg kick, big physical kid. Go watch him play. He's a lot of fun. They also have an East Coast guy. I know we're CAA folk, but Justin Casella, who was with him last year, hit to the top of their lineup, raked all last year for Elon. I'm really high in Oregon, outside of them using pencil bets, which is just super awesome. I think Cal's stock is on the rise, but give me the Ducks this weekend.
I forgot about the pencil bat thing. That was an automatic pick for you.
I mean, it's like Troy. I'm my head down, clear eyes, full heart. Give me the pencil bat.
Right. All right, now we got Clemson at Duke. Another, like, underrated. Maybe not underrated because both teams are top 10 ranked, but – like, this is another one of the matchups that I love seeing every year. Like, great color game. For someone like myself who's red-green colorblind, the purple and orange and the blue and, like, different blue shades and stuff, it appeals to me. So I always enjoy watching this series. Guys, let me tell you straight up, Duke's going to win this series. Like, they got embarrassed against Ryder on Tuesday. They had their fall-down moment. Like, they're going to pick right back up. Yeah, they play them again today. They're going to win by 20 runs. And, like, Clemson, I have a bad taste in my mouth about this Clemson team. I bet on them against Kennesaw State Friday night. It was in, like, a six-leg parlay. All five hit. They lose by 20 runs to Kennesaw State. I cannot get over that. In my head, they're not a regional team right now, even though they've been sneaking everybody else.
So what did that make? What did that make South Carolina?
Yeah, so – and it was funny. I actually ended up picking Clemson to win that series against South Carolina. Like, I forgave them, but you forgive but never forget. And yeah. I just will never forget Clemson ruining that parlay. Similar to, like, I will never forgive Southeastern Louisiana for what they did to me on that midweek last week.
That's
so, yeah, give me the I'm going to say the blue Duke Devils. The blue Duke Devils this week to win big.
I'm not going to overthink this. Give me Duke. That's it. I'm not going to overthink this. I think Clemson had a good weekend against South Carolina, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I don't think they're good enough when they start playing these gauntlet ACC series. I think they're going to struggle, and give me Duke.
Well, I don't know if we've jinxed the College of Charleston or Duke, but I'm clearly taking Duke as well. 14-1, but their one loss was an 18-1 run drumming. Ben, they should always be on your shit list. That doesn't make sense. Forever and always. Now, they did sweep a good Xavier team to open up the series season. But outside of that, they haven't really played anyone. UNC Greensboro is a really good team, but they haven't found – they haven't played a pitching staff of the caliber that they're going to see this weekend against Duke. I think not having it, Doug Kingsmore at Clemson probably hurts them. I think Santucci beats them on Friday, then Clemson bounced back and wins on Saturday, and then I think Duke wins the rubber match on Sunday, just like they did against Wake. I'll take the Dukies.
Nice. So we're all picking Duke. We're all picking Charleston. So yeah, if you're a Clemson fan, Wofford fan, they're about like 10 miles apart too. Clemson and Wofford, very close. Maybe not, maybe more than 10 miles, but yeah, if you're in that region, you're probably feeling pretty good right now. All right, we got Indiana State at Xavier. This one obviously isn't one of the marquee matchups. Like, neither team is a top 25 team. But I think this is one of these like coin flip series. I was like, Dimitri, be careful. You're changing tabs. You're sharing your screen.
I know. I'm pulling up Xavier here.
I can tell you everything you want to know about Xavier. I thought that they played Louisiana Tech really well in the back-to-back midweeks, and then their pitching staff looked great last week against LSU. Like, this team is definitely not like they're not a team that – how do I put this? You don't want to see them in your regional. You don't want to see them in your regional if they win the Big East, which I think they probably will. I think they're talented, but, like, they're not – they're not a top 25 team. They're not a team that's ever going to probably host, like, even be in the hosting contender. Like, they're not a top tier team, but they're just good enough where, like, they win games. Like, they won the Sunday game against LSU with good pitching. So Matt McCormick is always one of my favorite players. Last year, I think he hit a 500-foot homer at Omaha against Creighton. Big sluggers. So give me Xavier in this series at home. This series means a lot to them. Xavier's played a very tough schedule, and I guess Indiana State has too. But I think this is going to be a series where Xavier and Coach Billy O'Connor, I think they're going to hold the ground, and I think they're going to win the series. It'll be a good one, though. It'll be a good one to watch.
From a numbers standpoint, I mean, look at Indiana State pitching, top 50 and everything. Xavier, barely top, and they're not even top 200 in hardly anything except for ERA.
Their pitching looked good last weekend, though.
I know. I'm so confused on what to do here. Clemson, Louisville, Lipscomb, Cincinnati, Gulf Coast, Louisiana Tech, LSU. Holy schedule. Indiana State, really good schedule, too. You know what? I'm going to do this. Give me the Musketeers. I like Xavier at home. I love it.
Well, that makes it easier for me. Now we don't have to go full on board. I like Indiana State here. I'm taking sicko season. I think this is kind of a statement weekend. I think their pitching's a lot better. Dimitri just kind of alluded to it. Brennan Cutts is the reigning. What conference are they? The Valley?
Indiana State. They're Missouri.
Valley. Missouri Valley. He's been reigning Missouri Valley pitcher of the week. I think he went like 6 scoreless against LSU. I don't think they sweep by any means. I think it's a good series, and I'm glad you guys threw it up on the board. Give me the sickos, though. I'll take Indiana State.
Even Ben, who did you take? Who did you take?
Xavier.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Are you going to do Jack Dirty this week again?
No.
I gave
him. All right, you're writing them all down. All right, good. We still got 2 left. Jack, I want you to lead off with this Texas A&M Florida series.
I brought it up pre-cam. I think if anyone is out there looking to make some hypothetical investments this weekend, it feels like the entire world is out on Florida. They've been brutal. They've lost midweeks they shouldn't have. It feels like the world's crashing down on their shoulders, and that's why I think they almost sweep the weekend. They have the best player maybe generationally in college baseball with Jack Caggs. Sometimes it just takes a guy to say, hey, give me the ball. I'm going to go win a game. He'll do that on Sunday, so they'll without question win Sunday. But with Texas A&M coming in and just red-hot Fuego, one of the better offenses in the country, this has nothing to do with them. I think it has more so to do with Florida. Students are back from spring break. I think that ballpark will fill up nicely. The Gators win in Gainesville. I think Cags goes nuts. Ty Evans is a bat that's starting to heat up a little bit for them. He's a big-time light, you know, light tower pole guy, kind of power. I'll take the Gators.
I love Florida this weekend.
Oh, no. Oh, shit.
I love the Gators this weekend. Like, I was so shocked when you just said, give me the Gators.
I know.
This weekend, A&M is on their high horse. They're going to roll into Gainesville, and they're going to lose two, and they're going to trip over the shoelaces. Lavalette and whoever the hell, Braden Montgomery, all of them, they're going to get eaten up. They're going to get eaten up by Jack.
I don't know about that. I think these are
going to be the Gators this weekend. When nobody believed in them, that's when they do great.
Yeah, but we're reverse jinxing the jinx.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make up. Like, yeah. We almost know too much. Because history says when a team like Florida has all the talent in the world and they're struggling and you get an undefeated team come into town, it feels like everybody's going to be like, oh, A&M's a better team. A&M's going to win the series. Like, no doubt. But now it's like if this was 5 years ago, that's what people would say. Now we've seen this formula happen so many times. I guarantee you when D1 baseball like does their pick 'em and they have their 12 guys or whoever making the picks, you're going to see a ton of Florida Gators. And like now it feels like everything's shifting where it almost feels like a lock that Florida's going to win the series at home. And like, I think I'm going to reverse it right back. I'll take the Aggies. Like, just so we don't have a graphic with all Florida Gators. I do have some points of like how A&M can win, but I have more points of like how A&M could lose this series. Uh-oh, we got a phone call.
Nope, hung up. Okay. Yeah, they were calling in. We got a caller into the 11.7 show.
Yeah, I was thinking
Omaha telling us we were idiots.
I was thinking the Olsen Magic crew was calling in already. But listen, there's nothing that tells me A&M's going to win this series because A&M's been playing with fire recently. A lot of close wins. A lot of they're just due to lose at this point, right? Like they've won 17 straight games. Like it's hard to win 18 straight, 19. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah,
I'm going to take Texas A&M here just so we don't have a full Florida graphic. I'm going to hope that, you know, Jace Lavalette and Braden Montgomery and, you know, Gavin Grahovic and these guys can just pound the baseball off of Florida's bullpen. But, like, guys, everything points to Florida winning this series. Everything points to it.
So let's dialogue this. I had a big week. Do you want me to take one for the team? I'll take A&M.
No, don't do this.
Here's what I think. They're losing a game. There's no way they go 20-0. And if they do, they might never fucking lose. They might not ever lose. They've got a top five pick in the next three classes. They're loaded. The offense is awesome. They're losing a game this weekend. The question is, do they lose two? I was hoping that everyone was thinking – everyone was going to be all over the Aggies. Florida, this is a down year.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's like shifting it now.
But if you're saying that everyone else has already caught up to the reverse jinx, I was hoping we were the first to the punch. But if you're telling me that D1 baseball is going to look super top heavy and lopsided, then I don't feel as good about my pick anymore.
This is the toughest series. I mean, it's the toughest because there is the reverse jinx and the fade the public. But what is the public actually on?
Yeah.
I'll take the Aggies. I'll take one here. I don't think they're going to win the series, though.
Switch with me. I'll take the Aggies. I can talk myself into the Aggies.
How about you just come pick the Aggies? So we have two on the Aggies, one on Florida.
So we fade the rest of the college baseball community.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man. Great Montgomery's got the best swing in baseball. Dimitri flipped the ticker. Give me the Aggies.
Aggies are locked in.
They're going to fly in. They're going to play Fungo Golf in freaking Gainesville on Thursday. They'll dominate that. They're sweeping. They're going 20-0. And then they're going to go 50-0. Give me the Aggies.
Let's go. All right, last series. Tennessee at,
lock now.
Tennessee at Alabama. I'll go ahead and get started. I mean, Tennessee, I think, is a top five team in the country. And I think Tennessee is on a – they're on a course where they want to beat you by 10 runs every single game. And this team has a lot of guys that I think have, like, quiet confidence compared to, like, some of the teams they've had in the past. Like, when Drew Beam is your Saturday starter, sandwiched by the two AJs, not the two AJs. There's an AJ and an RJ Anyways, I think the pitching staff's legit. I think the offense is severely underrated. I think Tennessee goes into this series and sweeps Alabama.
I don't know about sweep, but I'm guaranteeing you a Tennessee series victory in Tuscaloosa. Not hard to pick. This is probably one of the easier ones for me to pick.
Oh, great. So we've got three just right across the board because I'm taking Tennessee too. Cal Stark has been unbelievable for the Vols. Their offense is good. Quiet confidence is the key word, Ben. Christian Moore playing second base is like a dude that people are forgetting about. He's nasty. I thought this was the easiest pick on the board. If I was still in the survivor pool, this would have been my pick.
Right.
So they're done.
So congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide and Coach Rob Vaughn for winning the series this weekend. Congrats.
Boom! Picks are in.
I just got the notification. Let's go. Well, boys, are there any other storylines this weekend that we want to follow before we hang up on this call?
I want my redemption round of a little rapid fire if you guys will have me.
I love the rapid fire.
Rapid fire round brought to you by, hopefully, Hack Attack. Hack Attack, reach out to the boys, sponsors. We need some money so you can send us cool places. We'll start in 5 seconds. I'm going to give you the three matchups I'm most excited for from a Power Five and a mid-major standpoint. Are we ready?
Yep.
Wake and Virginia, two power forces, I think, that I need to separate themselves from the middle of the pack in the ACC. NC State, Georgia Tech. Cozart may be the best catcher in the country. I think NC State's a lot better that nobody's really talking about. And Georgia Tech has the opportunity to go prove themselves at home. North Carolina and Miami, two teams I can't get a feel on yet. Like, Miami is really exciting, and you just have no idea. North Carolina is really exciting. They lose two in a row from ECU. I don't know. But notice how I took three ACC schools. Go watch the ACC this weekend. Yet it's ACC opening weekend. I think the ACC has the best games. Mid-majors, Creighton, San Francisco. The Dons are 12-5. Creighton's only lost two games. I think Creighton's better than you think. UNC Charlotte, UNC Wilmington. Wilmington had a big-time weekend. They're rocking and rolling. My last pick, a little bit of a homer, Charleston Southern High Point. CSU beat Samford, just beat the Cougs. They're kind of rolling. That's a statement game in the Big South.
They're a fun team to watch. Charleston Southern's a fun team to watch. Really rebuilding the culture there at the program.
We got a minute in. They're building the culture. I know it's a homer pick because I call their games, but you got to remember, High Point was my preseason Big South Conference pick. But Charleston Southern steals a game on a Sunday against Samford. And this kid, Chandler Tupa, they got hits, monster homers. Big lefty sophomore. I think that they could go and, like, surprise some teams this weekend, myself included.
Love that. I want to piggyback real quick off of that Wake Forest, Virginia series. I was going to be in the pick'em, but felt like everybody was going to pick Wake Forest. Was crazy about that. One of those two teams is guaranteed to be three games under 500 in ACC play at least. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Like, at the very best.
2-4.
Oh, you're right. I was thinking 2-5.
Yeah.
Well, guaranteed to be two games under 500, maximum four under 500. You could be 1-5.
Right. And so, I think, you're looking at two ACC teams that were both in Omaha last year. This was like the cream of the crop, right? Like, these were your two, like, juggernauts. Yeah, they're both in a position where I feel like they have a lot to prove. So I don't know what happens there.
Those two teams is either going to be 2-4 or 1-5.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I know.
Both good teams. I think Wake Forest wins that series, though, pretty easily.
Wake Forest wins that series. North Carolina wins that series. And by the way, we were talking high on Pitt. Watch, look how fast. We don't even give a shit about Pitt anymore. They got swept by North Carolina. They're right where they belong.
They played good against North Carolina, though.
Correct. All close games. They still got swept.
Yeah. I will, but I did want to. I wanted to shout it out. I got it in a minute. I'm very proud of myself as a big talker. But I do want to, again, give Dimitri another pat on the back because I kind of like, not that I talk shit, I think like my knowledge of ACC baseball going into the season is probably like a lot of other fans, which is limited, right? Like I'm so excited about what SEC play looks like. But outside of Vandy and Auburn, I'm more excited to see these teams in the ACC like play really good competition and to see how like it'll come. Like I'm almost more compelled by what's happening in the ACC opening or in their second weekend versus what's going to happen in the SEC. Like I know South Carolina is going to have a dogfight with Mississippi State because I think I'm kind of with Dimitri. I'm really high on Mississippi State. I think they're going to be fine.
South Carolina's playing Ole Miss. Oh, LSU's playing Mississippi State. Yeah.
Mississippi State. Okay. Well, then I'm backwards there. All right. Well, then I think South Carolina boat races Ole Miss. But I'm more excited about what's going to happen in the ACC this weekend because I think Georgia Tech has the opportunity to go and win a couple games against a top 15 team in North Carolina State and go, hey, this isn't just a fluke. Like, we're really good.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I still believe in Georgia Tech. Offense is there. They just got to get the pitching right. It's close. Here's a series that we probably should have put on our weekend series pick'em because I think it is a coin flip, but Georgia at Kentucky – this is a very important series for both of these teams. Like, it could be the difference between being a lock in the tournament and having to win a couple games in Hoover. I think both of these teams are very similar. Georgia, obviously 17-1, but has played a pretty light schedule. Kentucky, 14-3, but they did just lose 2 out of 3 to Kennesaw State. So I think that series is going to be very crucial to the end of the year. They got
fucking hammered.
Yeah. I know.
So Clemson. So fucking Clemson. Like,
but Clemson came back and won the series.
Yeah, I mean, but
Kennesaw hammered them boys twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys have? Georgia or Kentucky?
Georgia, no doubt.
See, I think Kentucky wins that series. I really do.
No way.
Their pitching's better than Georgia. I think their pitching's better than Georgia's.
I think Georgia has a sneaky good pitching staff, but that's just me. I'll take Georgia in that series. Here's my upset pick of the weekend. Ole Miss is going to beat South Carolina 2 out of 3. I think Ole Miss beats South Carolina pretty easily. Been a little disappointed in South Carolina. Like, they haven't.
Why? Could they lost one series to Clemson? Is that why?
No. I'm disappointed in their offense. Like, I came into the year thinking that they were going to have this like explosive offense, and it just hasn't clicked yet.
It's coming.
I think Ole Miss, it's going to be a beautiful weekend in Oxford. Beers will be flowing. I think they're ready to turn the corner. I think Ole Miss comes out and wins that series.
I guess we'll talk about it on Sunday night.
Yeah. Do you guys think Mississippi State has any chance of beating LSU 2 out of 3 at home?
I do think they have a chance. I think Nate Dom is going to win Friday night.
No shot. It's Holman?
Wait, Nate Dom. I think he just got hurt. I think he had to walk out of a
chemo. I don't care who you're throwing. Ain't nobody.
I don't care who you're throwing. They're not winning Friday.
Nobody beating Holman. Ain't nobody beating Holman right now.
I don't know, man. Hey, Dakota Jordan, get the hold of one 3-run homer. You never know.
That's a wiffle ball swing, too. Dakota Jordan has that wiffle ball swing.
Facts.
But anyway, I think LSU wins that series, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, how did the hell did that just happen if Mississippi State wins it? But I think LSU wins.
If Mississippi State can win, they're not going to win on Friday. But if they won on Saturday, like a Sunday matchup, Thatcher Hurd versus Gerangelo Sanja. Yeah, I had his first and last initials mixed up. Gerangelo Sanja, like, that's a good Sunday rubber game.
Yeah.
In that environment too.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have anything else? I'm
worried out. I was trying to stall to make it exactly an hour and 15 minutes. So we got 40 seconds. Trivia question.
Hit me.
Who has made the most errors this season?
Who's the team that made eight errors
against Wake
last midweek?
Yeah, who had eight errors against Wake? Was that Xavier?
No.
I think it was Georgetown, but that's not the answer. The answer is Norfolk State. 44 errors this year. Got to clean it up, Norfolk State.
Go LIU. They got a huge matchup against Central Connecticut, 3-13 versus 2-12. Let's go LIU.
Let's go Sharks. All right, everybody, see you.